Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to organizational health and the world of work. I'm your host, Pat Lencioni, joined by the boys crew today. We've got Cody and Bo. How are you guys doing?
Excellent.
We had a pretty good run there, Pat, when it was just you and me, and now Bo's buttoned himself back in here. But
glad Tracy's you're here, on Bo. Vacation. Matt and Karen are in the studio, but it's just the three dudes on the mics. So who knows what's going to happen. And what are we going to talk about today, Cody?
Stop using the E word.
Yes, the E word, not the F word. Was that Karen? Did you come up with that? Mm-hmm. Karen came up with that title. That's awesome. Stop using the E word. What is the E word? It is empowerment. Empowerment. Now, we're not actually saying you shouldn't use it, but don't use it if you don't know what it means. And it's a buzzword. And it's one of those buzzwords. I don't know if it was in the 1990s or the early 2000s when everybody was like, oh, you have to empower your people. And nobody really knew what it meant. And I think they thought if they gave them a little bit more time off, they were empowering them, or they let them bring their dogs to work or something. I don't know. But it became meaningless. It became meaningless. And then recently, a guy sent me a book to endorse. And I read something in it that just shocked me. And he talked about empowerment. And the guy's name is Chris Chernoff, great guy. He doesn't have a title for the book yet. When he does, we'll put an ad out there for it, but it's about leadership. But he talked about empowering, and he said, oh, I had his name wrong. I'm sorry, you're right. Chris Murroff, a new friend of mine. I just met him the one time on Zoom, and I loved his book. And he talked about empowerment requiring that a leader gives away power. So when we talk about like emigration versus immigration, it's going out. So when you empower people, you are pushing power out to others and losing it for yourself. And I thought, I've never heard it that way. Because when a leader says, I want to empower people, I don't think they realize I'm going to lose something. And the word empujar in Spanish is to push. And so the idea to empower means you have to be prepared to lose something. And I thought that. And as a result of losing power, you're going to spread the excellence and grow it in others.
Okay, I love this topic. I wonder first, can you say more about what is bad about the old way of describing empowerment? Well, it's one is that we don't know what it means, and it's just sort of this loose term. How else do you think we misunderstand empowerment?
Well, I think that one thing is people use it and they think that if I decide not to do something, I'm going to empower others to do it. And they're often abdicating it. So they go, oh, I'm empowering my staff to do that. And it's like, wait, you mean you're giving up authority to them and you're really trusting them and you're going to let them make those decisions? It's like, no, I just don't feel like doing it. I'm going to call it empowerment. So they use that term wrong. Or they do it in such tiny ways that it's almost insulting and it seems so touchy-feely. Like, oh, let's do empowerment. Or they put it on a freaking t-shirt. And it's like, you don't even know what that means. And so when I saw Chris's quote, his own words that said to empower someone is to give them power for their excellence, I thought, oh, this is something that more leaders have to understand. It's about losing something yourself for the good of the whole.
I love this topic. This is not necessarily easy for me to do, but I love when somebody else does it for me. Right? We've all been on the receiving end of sort of fake empowerment where a leader says, oh, you go ahead and decide. And then what they actually meant is, tell me what your opinion is, and I'll tell you if it was right or not.
Yeah. But right.
I think part of the tension, Pat and Cody, I'd love you guys to speak to this, is the problem is if you have a room full of people and you say, I'm giving you the power to decide, you might end up running in 360 different directions, right? You might end up with decisions that are being made that don't align with who you are as a company or what you as a leader would do. And I think leaders foresee that, and that's part of why they're nervous about it. Nervous to actually empower somebody else with the ability to lead and decide, because what if it doesn't line up with what I would do?
Well, yeah, and something you said, I want to get some clarification, Bo. You said it could go in 360 different directions. You can't empower a whole bunch of people, right? You have to empower somebody. So I guess I'm a little confused. It might go into maybe you were saying 360 degrees or 180 degrees different than what you would have done.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I love that clarification, Pat, that, well, now I'm interrupting you. I'm sorry. But I love the clarification that empowerment is to a specific person. It is not a broad category of everybody's empowered. It's something that you do almost one at a time. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Well, that's something that I just thought of because of what you said, and that is that if you're empowering a whole bunch of people to do something, that really is abdicating, isn't it? You guys figure it out. What you have to do is say, I think you could make this decision. I want you to make this decision, and I'm going to trust that you will make this decision well, and I am not going to look over your shoulder. I'm not going to second guess you, and I'm not going to blame you if it doesn't go well. I think that it's your call. By the way, Karen just found the manuscript, and here's what he said. He said, to empower somebody requires you to trade your own power for others' greatness. And way to go, Chris. What a great thing. You have to trade off your power for their greatness.
And Pat, I love that concept when you talk about this is about giving away or pushing power. Because what it is there is a, when one person is empowered to make, or one person has the power, it's this consolidation of, hey, do I need to check with you decision-making rights and who actually has the cachet to be able to make this decision versus, you know, having to give that away. I feel like in almost every job I've been in, and this happens as you're moving positions or you're bringing new people on, is like you feel like, boy, I've spent 2 years in this role learning how I do this well. And let's say you're onboarding a new person. Part of it is giving away the way that you do it to somebody else, knowing that there's going to be some differences in that. So I love that like cost to it that you're identifying, which is, hey, this isn't like the old empowerment that you're saying is sort of ineffective, is the idea of saying like, oh, our employees feel empowered, but really they just have to check in with any decisions that they want to make. Well, this is really about, it's a cost.
Yeah. And I think it good. You said the word cost and risk and the potential for loss.
Yep.
And you have to accept that. If you're going to empower somebody, be ready for those things, because that's a possibility, even a likelihood. And if you're not ready for that, you're actually going to frustrate them more. You're going to tell them you're going to empower them, and then you're going to rip it back.
But I love that the last part of his quote that you read in that book is for other people's excellence, because like I'll tell a very specific story. Like, I was hired at the Table Group to do a lot of our customer service interactions. And then very quickly, Dani, who is still, that is her kingdom now, she was replacing me in that role. And I felt like, boy, I'd spent a year and a half kind of doing some of that and thinking like, oh, I'm pretty good at this. And there was loss in saying like, okay, I'm going to pass that over to somebody else to do. But when you get to the point of other people's excellence, now when I watch Dani do what she's doing, she's far exceeded in different ways, but she has made that role better for our customers than I ever did. And it would have been worse if I had been the bottleneck of that decision-making or made that, like, not given that away to her to do it in her own right.
Right. And if you had said, you can do it any way you want, as long as you don't do anything less than I did.
Right.
Because I'm sure there's a few areas where you were better than her, but then she had to go, no, I can be not quite as good in those areas, but I'm going to try to exceed in all these other areas. That's totally. There's loss involved in getting to that greatness. Bo, you've been trying to get your word in here.
Oh, it's great. I was with a leader once who said a line similar to this, which is, the best way to develop somebody is to give them opportunity, right? The best way to have somebody learn and grow, give them a chance. And there's so much said about staff development, and we got to do trainings and blah, blah, blah. And so often you finish those things and it feels sort of two-dimensional, whereas real life leadership and decisions are where real leaders are made. And then doing that for the people around you, really giving them power, distributing your power to them, is one of the best ways to get to develop leaders around you. And what will then happen, Pat, is I think it's in some ways the best way for your organization to grow, because more leadership, more people who have the ability to make decisions, increases your organization, your team's ability for impact, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
There's more and more people who can do that.
And you have to give it time. You can't empower somebody. Like when somebody says, we're going to put this quarterback in the game, and then if he throws an interception, we're going to hook him out. It's like, no, you got to let somebody do something, fail at it, work on it, correct it, and get better. And so it's not empowering somebody to give them a chance and tell them you're going to hook them right after they do it more poorly than you. So there's a time frame on that as well. Now, Karen just blew my mind, because she just wrote me a note that said, so you have to empower one person at a time when around certain things. But if you did want to empower people as a group, not around one particular thing, but in general, if you said, I'd like to empower my workforce at my company to make decisions on their own. So I would say it's more general empowerment. You can do that if you give them clarity around what the guardrails are. Mm-hmm. And this is something we've been talking about at the table group with our clients for years. Instead of using the word empowerment as just a theme, if you tell them, hey, these are the guardrails for what you can do, anything you do within those guardrails is good. Now go make your own decisions. Mm. And of course, the example we used for years was Southwest Airlines, right, Cody?
Yeah. Yeah. And Pat, to be explicit, like this is in the six critical questions when we talk about question number four, which is how will we succeed? And we've done multiple podcasts. The other way to say that is what's our strategy? What are the guardrails for the decisions we make in our strategy? And strategy is another word that has a weird connotation depending on what business you're in or what, company you're at. But if you can distill down the three or four strategic anchors of a company, that is the best way to empower the entire workforce to be able to make decisions within those parameters. And so Southwest Airlines, that was the easiest way to talk about that. I love you tell a story often about like, boy, if you're on a, if you were on a different flight airline, a different, American or somewhere else, and you try to change planes the same day or change your flight the same day, they pull out a handbook and say like, oh, I don't know if I have to run it up the chain. Who has the decision-making power? How do we get you on a different flight?
Where's the policy binder?
Right, exactly. And it's all about trying to mitigate risk, where Southwest Airlines got really clear about, hey, here are the things that we care about. And theirs were at the time, on time, low fares, and high customer service. And so they had this empowered employee on the front lines that was able to say, hey, you need to change a plane. Is it going to affect the on-time departure? No. Is it going to make you happy as a customer? Yes. And is it going to affect the low fare? No. So we'll go ahead and do that. That is the quintessential, when people use the word empowerment, that's what it should mean. And unfortunately, way too often, it doesn't mean that at all.
Right. Mm. And people think, oh, they just decided we're going to empower our employees. But if they didn't give them the guidelines, they don't know how to do that. And so every person can be empowered if they go, check, check, check. Yeah, I just empowered myself. I can make that decision. You know, the great story I loved about empowering kids on a playground was fascinating to me. And I think when we first came up with the Southwest Airlines example, this was one of the things that provoked it. And that is, there was a school that was on a busy street. And it was like bordered on two busy streets. So it was kind of surrounded by lots of traffic. And they had a fence around the perimeter of the school, and kids would play all over the school. They were empowered to use every part of it. They felt very comfortable playing in all areas of it. Some consultant came along and said, fences are bad. It makes people feel restricted. So they took the fence down. Now there was no fence between them and the busy street, and the kids all congregated in the middle. Hmm. And the point was, the fence was what gave them safety. They knew that as long as I stay within that fence, I can do what I need to, and that'll be okay. And Southwest Airlines just said, when somebody asks you something, don't ask your supervisor unless you don't know whether it's going to affect the fares, the on time, or the customer service. So suddenly, people on Southwest, you'd go up to them and you'd say, hey, can I do this? And they'd say, yeah. Or they would say no. They were empowered to say no. And they go, why not? And they go, well, that would add cost. And so that wouldn't be okay. And I'm not allowed to do that. And people would go, that's a great answer. Whereas at United, you know what they said? That you have a boss, you have a policy binder. Don't ever make a decision that is going to cause any problems, or you're going to be in trouble. Hmm. And it was just the opposite. And I don't want to pick on United, but well, it's United. So yeah, Bo. So
empowerment is not saying, hey, you do it how you want to do it. Empowerment is saying you get to make the decision. Let us give you let's have the filters be really, really clear about how we make decisions around here. And I think perhaps an insecure leader might feel like, oh, but I kind of want to do it the way I want to do it. And leaders who are about the mission of the organization say, well, these anchors are the way that we are going to accomplish our mission. And another way of describing what you both just were talking about is, at first, clarifying a lane might feel sort of constricting, but actually when you clarify the lane for people, everybody's able to move faster right? And we're able to get more done where we're looking in the rearview mirror less, criticizing decisions because we had clarity about how we're going to move forward.
You know something, Bo, as you were saying that, I was just thinking that it's okay not to decide not to empower people sometimes. And that's one of the problems with these buzzwords. People will say, oh, you have to empower people. And sometimes a leader needs to go, no, I want to hold on to that decision. I really want that. It's important to me that this goes the way I need it to be. So while I would love to empower you, I'm going to choose not to. That is much better than talking the talk and saying, well, I have to be empowering people and then coming up with some BS way to interpret it and not actually doing it. I think it's much better to say, no, I'm not going to empower on this one. I'm going to hold on to that. But I think that you have to have the comfort in saying, yeah, that's not going to happen this time. That's okay.
Yeah. You know, as we're having this conversation, I'm thinking about how an unempowered employee, a truly unempowered employee, might as well have be redundant or an empty seat. Like I think about when I have to call the cell phone company, AT&T or Dish Network or whoever it is, and all you're trying to do is get to the person who can actually either refund that charge on your account or give you the newcomer discount that they've jacked up your rates since then. You literally go through two or three layers of people that have a policy binder that can't actually make a decision. And it's such like corporate waste to have employees in your organization that have no real way of making decisions for themselves. And so it's almost like, yeah, we can talk about the upside of like, boy, faster decisions and gate or, you know, parameters that people can make decisions in. But I want, there's so many organizations out there that are actually probably have redundant or unnecessary positions or employees because they haven't given them that truly empowered them to make decisions.
That yeah, I have a story about a recent situation around empowerment, Cody. I was at a hotel and I called for room service. I didn't know what time it was. I got up late. I was doing some writing and stuff like that. And I said, I need to order breakfast. And I knew kind of what time it was, but I misjudged the breakfast. I thought breakfast was ended at 11. It often does at a hotel. And she said, oh, I'm sorry. Breakfast is over. I said, oh, what time does breakfast end? And she goes, 10:30. I said, oh, what time is it? She goes, it's 10:33. And I was like, okay, so could you just send me some toast or something? No, I'm sorry. Breakfast is over. And I was like nothing like yogurt or a piece of fruit. I just need some, no, I'm sorry. And I said to her, I don't think you're sorry. If you were really sorry, you'd probably find a way. And she's like, I'm sorry. And she just kept saying that. That's the policy. And I went to the general manager of the hotel who I knew. And I said, hey, what's going on there? He goes, oh, crap. She goes, that person could have done 3-4 different things for you. And they were like, but they didn't say to them, you have to stick, you can't just stick to the policy. You have to exercise your judgment. And although I didn't go any further than that, but the question is, did they tell her, I want you to make your customers happy? Or did they tell her, your job is to make sure that nobody ever bothers the kitchen after a certain hour for this?
Or like to enforce the policy. If it's her job to enforce the policy. I have another food-related story about that, Pat. I went to a restaurant where I love the breakfast burrito at the restaurant. And on the weekends, they say, we don't serve the breakfast burrito because their grill is too small. I don't know what the idea was. So, but we're still there on a weekend for breakfast. And the breakfast burrito is my favorite thing. And I was like, well, I can order this omelet here, right? That has all of the same inside makings of the breakfast burrito. And they're like, yeah. And I said, can you bring me that and a tortilla? You know, it's like, why do I have to go around the, the policy of this when this is pretty much the spirit of what we're trying to get at?
You know, there's a movie called Easy Rider. And in it, the guy orders, I can't remember what it was. Like, I want a BLT. Oh, it was Jack Nicholson, Karen reminds me. And she says, we don't have BLT on the menu. Oh, well, I see you have bacon, right? And you have tomatoes, yeah. And you have a sandwich, huh? And can you make a ham sandwich with bacon on it? Yeah. Okay, here's what I want you to do. And he's very rude. But the idea is like, can you do a little bit more? Are you empowered to do that? And that's not her fault. It's her manager's fault. Mm-hmm. Because somebody needed to say, your job is to make that person happy rather than your job is to never make the cook have to do something that's not on the list.
Thinking of another of a positive example, which is, I think I've talked about this organization before, but our family volunteers with a group called Lighthouse Family Retreat. And basically, you take a week of time off to go and volunteer on the beach or in the mountains and put on camps, retreats for families that are going through hard time. All these families have a kid that has cancer. And so it's a big to do. It's a big ask for people to come and volunteer. And they are exceptional at empowering their volunteers. And it would be very tempting for there to be a policy binder about everything you can and can't do, because these are fragile kids and it's potentially litigious environment. But you walk in and as a volunteer, you just feel, I keep using the word empowered, so let me come up with a different word. You're given the decision-making power to be able to pursue the values of the camp. Does that make sense?
What you just demonstrated is that is the right word.
Yeah, it is the right word.
You have been given the power, the authority to do that. Anyway,
keep going. And you know what's wild? In 6 years of doing this, I don't think they've ever used the word empowerment. They've just demonstrated, we trust you to make this experience great. Go the extra mile to be able to make it great. And they describe what great looks like, and they're great at telling stories and great at showing you what it looks like, that second mile service. And anyway, it was just connecting the dots between how enjoyable that is and how you want to come back to an organization, even as a volunteer, that makes you feel like you feel trusted. You feel like a grown-up.
You know, Nordstrom, of course, for years was good at empowering their people. They said, but they gave them guidelines. They said, here, this is it. We want that person to be a customer for life. We want them to feel trusted. So if they come back and ask for an exchange, even if you're not sure it's that valid, it doesn't matter. Treat them like this. And so they were empowered to do wonderful things for their people. Hmm. And so now, you know something? It gets back to this though. There are some businesses, there are some situations when you shouldn't empower people. Yeah. I mean, like the brain surgeon shouldn't empower his nurse to decide when to do this or that, because that's his expertise and responsibility, and or her responsibility. And so there are times when it's not necessarily called for, but far more often than not. And I think it's worthwhile to look at why people don't empower. I think we should say that, okay, why does this not happen? And sometimes it's the lack of clarity. They haven't clarified what it is, so you can't empower people because they don't know how to make the decision. But when it comes down to that personal decision to lose power, I think it's sometimes people have pride. It's like, mm-hmm. I kind of like being the powerful one here. I think sometimes it's related to that. It's like the attention. If things go well, I'd like it to be about me. Mm-hmm. I think that it's sometimes just a lack of, I don't really trust other people to have the skills mm-hmm. to do it, which just needs to be. And some people just have a fundamental need for control. But we have to ask ourselves, is that need for control limiting what we can be doing mm-hmm. in the rest of the organization? I think those are some of the reasons why.
I think another, I really agree with those, Pat. Another could be, I've done that before and it didn't work, right? Like I empowered right. somebody before, 10 years ago, right? I told somebody they could decide and it didn't go well. And it could also be that a leader chooses not to empower because the person's not ready yet.
That's wisdom.
I think so too.
That's wisdom.
But I will say, Pat, I think the point you made earlier too about this takes time. Like if there's a really short leash, you think about coaches in the NFL or in the NBA, they get one season, and if they don't make the playoffs, then they yank them. Whereas the long-standing coaches that have created a culture over time, like they didn't go out right out of the gate and bat 1,000. They made some mistakes. And part of that learning those parameters is that you make some mistakes, right? That you like, you know where the guardrails are, but occasionally you make a decision outside the guardrail. And the conversation of like, hey, I don't think you really thought through our strategy or our guardrails the right way. That shouldn't be a buy-sell decision. That's a learning moment.
Wow. This leads to another podcast that I was talking to you guys about. And that is sometimes if things turn down temporarily, we're afraid that means failure. We don't tolerate a little bit of failure that could lead to even greater success. And that's a different podcast. I think we'll call it Ups and Downs. But if we do it now, we'll go way over. So this has been great talking about this. We think empowerment is a great thing, but don't use the word if you don't want to know what it means. Be ready to lose power for the sake of others. And be ready to create the kind of clarity that makes empowerment likely for success. Cody, do you have an unpaid advertisement for us today?
I do. And you guys have brought some serious ones to the table lately. I feel as passionate about this as maybe some of the other things you've said. my advertisement is for hats, just hats in general. You know, I think
you're as pro hat.
I'm very pro hat as a balding middle-aged male. Very, very helpful for me to have something to cover my head. But I wear a hat about every day. My wife would hate that that's my advertisement. She thinks I need to clean out my closet of all my hats, but big fan of hats.
That's, you're stepping way out there on the line to go with the pro hat.
Pretty controversial.
We have a lot of anti-hat, hatites. What is that? Anti-hatites.
You're anti-hatite.
Yeah.
Matt says that's the, I'm the least surprising hat spokesperson. He sees me in a hat almost every day. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate that.
Cody, are you strongly opinionated about hats? Like, do you need the athletic fit or the little clip on the back? Like, how, what?
You know, my biggest
strong opinions on
the
that?
Thing I look for, obviously, one of the things I don't like are like when the hat is slightly too tall, it makes your head look weird. You know, like it's just got to be
the
form of the hat is important, but superior maybe even to sunglasses. You know, you just, it covers your head and it provides shade. So there's a whole bunch of reasons.
So flat bill, really, Cody, or curved bill?
That's the key. Because we're talking about ball caps here. We're not talking about, you know, a chapeau or, you know, something like that. You wear ball caps a lot.
Yep.
You like the curved bill, right? Not the flat bill.
I think that's just a facial structure preference thing. You know, like I have some flat billed ones that look okay, but generally speaking, the curved bill works better for me. But I think it's a personal preference.
What's funny is your twin brother is a flat bill kind of guy.
He is. He's got a longer beard. His head shape is a little different. Different dynamics going on. So there's a whole thing to it.
There's another nuance here, and that is when your hair is thinning, it's a real difficult decision to make because a hat will help it thin. Mm-hmm. So if you wear it too much, your hair will thin faster. But on the other hand, if your hair is thin, did you not know that, Bo?
No, I did not know that.
Tracy Noble, who's on vacation right now, told me that's the case. If you wear a hat too much, it will accelerate the thinning. So right now I'm in that place where I don't know if I want to accelerate it, cover it up, and it, you know, I'm going to have to get some advice. That's you know, empower my wife maybe to make that decision for me.
I don't want to go on a whole celery bit here, but I will say I feel like the Bryson DeChambeau, whatever kind of hat that is egregious and should never be spoken of. That's my strong opinion. What's that kind of hat called?
The one that like buttons in front, the cloth one that buttons in front. Yeah.
That's
the Peaky Blinders hat.
Yeah.
Sherlock Holmes, paperboy hat.
Take that, Bryson DeChambeau.
Hey, before this gets any crazier, I think we better wrap it up. So empowerment and hats. Be empowered to wear hats. And thank you for joining us. We'll talk to you next time on At the Table. God bless.